This is the Shi'ilei Kuvvet Chanukah, where we talk about the Yevunim, and some people have a minig, not me, but some people have a minig, talk about the Greek language, because Rabbi Gamliel, who was a great Tana, said that the only language in which you could say the Torah is in Greek. Remember? That's what he said? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel.
Yefes.
They said there is a pusik about this, yeah. Who said Rabbi Shimon Gamliel or Rabbi Gamliel? Afkis v'akodesh le'tir lichtev eli yevunis. Right? That's the shit of Tana. And that's the famous story of the Talmi HaMelech, who was supposedly the one who ordered the Torah to be written into Greek, known as the Targum HaShivim, or Reb Shimon Gamliel. That's a machloikas. The Tanakhama said that all kol Torah kila b'chalosh hanemra, or at least that's how the Gemara formalized it. Right, that you could write the Torah in every language. Why? Remember why? How could you write the Torah in every language? There's something very important here. I have to talk about this. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to talk about this Mishnah, but you should know the Mishnah. Mishnah daf yedid ken osam vanig, right? The Mishnah in?
About what?
The Mishnah that I'm quoting now is where? Sechtes?
Seita? What was? Was it the writing
Torah in
every language?
Mm-hmm. From Seita? Hello, it's a Mishnah in Megillah. Okay, a Mishnah in Megillah.
The first part of that.
There's also, of course, there's a Gemara in Sotah about this, and a Gemara in Bruchs about this. Okay. But the Mishnah is a Mesechtes Megillah. Mesechtes Megillah, it says, a Machloikis. Ein ben Sfurim letfilin lemezizas, right? Part of the Ein bens. Ein ben Sfurim letfilin lemezizas, Ella shah Sfurim nechtovim bechal lashon, etfilin lemezizas, Ein nechtovis Ella shir. There's something called Sfurim, Sifrei HaTorah, and there's something called tfilin lemezizas, which are specific parts of the Torah that we write on our hands and our doors, right? We have mezuzahs here, Baruch Hashem. Yeah? Says the Mishnah, they're both the same thing. They both have the same Kaddish. Their halachas are the same. But there's one difference. This is the Tanakam Shita. There's one difference. Seforim we have to write. We could write in any language. In other words, when you go to shul, they take up, they say, see, shurim. No, first they say, ve'ibin sayora, and blah, blah, blah. Then they make a whole kimitzi and tata Torah. And they take out the Holy Torah from the Holy Urim Kodesh, Kshirim Bekdesh, over Tahara, and they kiss it. Right? This Torah, you could write in English, or in French, or in Spanish, or in Chinesish. Doesn't matter. It's the same Kedisha. And then you say, Burich HaTo Hashem, Mashbuch HaBinu Kol HaAmnus Leis Terus, Vatrin Leis HaTorah. And he went to Mitzrayim, Yaakov, and now Antararam. Right? Or you say it in Greek, which I don't know how to say even. And Lechoyer, when you write it in Greek, you also have to write it according to the Gemara with the halachas. You have to write it on a cloth with all the halachas of the Torah. And he read it and you say a bracha and so on. Right? Pchitzat. There's a guy. At tefillin and a mezuzah, you can't, because tefillin and mezuzah is like a kamaya, basically. It's not meant to read. I don't know why. I'm just making up a pshat. So it has to be written as shuris in the Jewish language, in Lishna Kodesh, really. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And he said, "Av besfurim le'tirish yechtiv elivu." And he said, "No, not every language you could write it. Only Greek." Stimmt? There's a shit of a heilig Reb Shimon ben Gam Liel. Who's that look like? Reb Shimon Gamliel.
What? Who's
the Rambam?
What?
Halachah Reb Shimon Gamliel. I don't know. I'm just telling you what the Rambam says. On the right here. You could look in the Gemara and see what the Talmud Bavli says about this, and so on. Okay. The Megillah Esther, it seems like this is also a machloikas, but some people say you could write the Megillah Yevunah, some people say also the Bida says only the Sefer Torah, B'shem Mas, Talmi Melech, and that's where we get the story of Talmi Melech, and Mesechtes Megillah Daftes. Okay? But what's the important thing? What's the important thing? And of course, Rabbi Yochanan said that there's a... Rabbi Yochanan said the Luch is Reb Shimon Gamliel. That's where we get the Luch. And Rabbi Yochanan also brought the Makar for Reb Shimon Gamliel from a Pusik. Yaftalim Leyefes, Yafusa Shal Yefes, Yubal Hashem. And the Dash Yafisa Les means the most beautiful part of Yefes, right? In other words, our Chachomim, I don't know what anyone will tell you, Sai, the Mishnah, the Tanakam, holds Bechlau, that the Torah doesn't have a language. You could write the Torah in any language, and kosher. Why? This is how the Gemara, I like this Gemara phrasing, although the Gemara in the end says that we can't have a ride in animals like this, but the Gemara Masechtas Megillah in a different place, and Masechtas Beruchos in a different place, regarding being Goetze, Prekeshma B'chalosh, and says the Lushan, Lamacha Sovereb, or Sovereabunan, Shekola Tore Killa B'chalosh in Emre. Right? When the Rabban Shalom gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbani, he didn't give it on Lushna Kodesh. If someone tells that Lushna Kodesh is holy because I wish to give the Torah in Moshe Rabbani Lushna Kodesh, who says this? The Heilige Ramban? This is not true, according to this Gemara and according to this Mishnah. I wish to give the Torah in Alle Sprachen. Why do we have only the Hebrew one? Because we speak Hebrew, so that's the one we kept. But if you'd be a Goy that speaks Yevunish, you would have the Yevunish Torah. And if you'd be speaking Aramaic, you'd have an Aramaic Torah. And if you'd be speaking Spanish, you'd have a Spanish Torah. Or Latin, you'd have a Latin Torah, and so on. Like him toes, right? It's maskim. If you're not maskim, tell me. I need you to tell me. Because now I'm not sleeping in this.
The Radvaz of Torah falls away from this.
I don't know which Radvaz. A lot of Torahs fall away from this, but it's a Mishnah, Rabban Shloim. Okay? So that's the broadest shita. The broadest shita is that the Torah, in other words, when we say a Brucha, the Heilige Torah, we don't mean the words. The words in this language and these OECS, because that's not, because this, we could say the same words in a different language. We mean the meaning. And if you could write the meaning of it in any language, it's Pink Tazi Heilig. And of course, there's a whole longer list in the Mishnah and Soita of which sayings, which ritual sayings can be Yotze B'chaloshen. Many of them could be Krishma B'chaloshen, according to one Shit in the Tanoim, and Phil of Shur B'chaloshen, and so on, which means that you could. There was big controversies about this, of course, in later times, but Le'ekra Alocha, you could say Krishma in every language, and you could say Shmanasana in every language, and so on. Some things you can't, and go figure out why, which is not, I don't have a clear theory, but that's the story, right? What do we learn from this? That the Torah, according to the Chachamim, is in every language. What's with the problem of accuracy of translation? Very old, famous problem. What about that problem?
What do you mean? What about the problem of accuracy of ancient language?
Of translation. What about that problem? What does it mean, the Torah B'chalushin? If I take a Torah and I write the English version, I have in my shelf two or three or five, just how many English versions of the Torah. Each one has a different Torah. So which one is the Heilige one? Basic question.
Yeah, but the original one is that the same problem also, if you don't know what it means.
No, come on.
Meaning, if your translation, right?
Look, no?
If your translation is messed up, then your original is also messed up.
But at least we have the...
translation is another layer.
So wait, you're saying, I like what you're saying. So, there's a basic problem. What does it mean, Torah B'chalush? Okay, but who says this is the Torah? Maybe this is your pshat of the Torah, your translation of the Torah, which is not going to be the fourth, it's not possible to translate 100% accurately, impossible, as it says in the Sefer Megillah. We'll see if you want, if we'll get to that. And therefore, there's a problem here, right? How could we translate, how could you say that the Torah, maybe it's not the Torah? V'lil malach Torahi. So Ari says Azoy, and therefore the Lashon Kodesh, if you don't know what it means, also you don't have the Torah. What would be the answer to that question? Of course, maybe I don't know what it means, but the actual Oisias that Moshe Rabbani wrote or whatever makes the Kodesh Torah Heilig are there. So at least, Lashon Kodesh, you don't have to, this is actually Halacha, this thing Chilik that I'm making into Halacha, right?
Yeah.
Everyone is Yotze Lishna Kodesh, the Megillah, right? Even if you don't understand.
If the Yeshua wrote the whole thing in another language, we wouldn't have a problem.
If my theory that I just gave you of Kol Torah Kilei B'chalush is that literally there was a, this is of course not historically true. If we were really, theoretically, because this is not history, but if theoretically, if my theory, my story would be true, literally, and there would literally be 70 versions of the Torah or as many languages as there are, and you'd literally have that one, then you wouldn't have this problem, of course. But since we don't have, and therefore, B'chaloshin, and just to be clear, when the Mishnah says B'chaloshin, it doesn't mean that rack, right? It means some guy went and wrote a version of the Torah in Targum Inklus, in Aramish, right? Mikra Shekos V'Targum. The Gemara says this, no, the Gemara says this example of Mikra Shekos V'Targum. Right? I write the Torah in Aramish. We have that Torah, we have it. It's more or less an accurate translation, but of course, there's many parts that are not, or that are debatable, right? And of course, many people listened to the Torah in that translation for many years that didn't understand the word of the Hebrew. But in any case, you could say they were only Yotze when they, but they did read the Hebrew also. They were Yotze then, and then just understood. But if we say, What's my problem? I'm saying that if you don't understand the text, and some would say, at least Lishna Kodesh, you don't have to understand it, at least you have it. When it's in English, it's a ma'akev that you should understand, because otherwise you don't have the Torah b'chlal. If it's in Lishna Kodesh, and even if you don't understand it, you still have it.
Do I have it?
It's written there.
Regashmius. I feel like we're talking about two separate things.
I wrote a Sefer Torah.
In a way, like, oh, I wrote a Sefer Torah.
Svarim nechtuv b'chal
nashon. It's like I put on a maket, right? And it's like nothing to do with meaning. It's just I wrote a Sefer Torah and it's kosher. It's like I made a maket on my gag. It doesn't have to have a meaning. It's just a mitzvah, like a mitzvah's masses.
No, svarim nechtuv b'chal nashon. Which are you talking about?
The idea is to limoid, right, from the Torah, to learn the Torah, so that if I don't have an understanding of these words, then mitzvot is do the Torah. You also got that condition.
You're matzalit with an ad like of a Shabbos, no?
A little fine, so it's like
that's
a seer.
By the way, that's the nafkamina. What other nafkamina is there? I mean, it's not actually I see that it's not.
Accurately in your
what does and what does svarim nechtuv b'chalushin even mean? L'may nafkamina? All the kol elchas sefer Torah. It's matamas ha'idaim. It's nitzel b'fnei adlaika, and it's yoytz with it. You take kriyas ha'Torah with it. Things like that. What else does it mean? Halochas. You're right. We don't understand that anyways. That doesn't help. But I'm saying so. But now I'm back to my question. So if you wrote if your translation of your written is inaccurate, does that mean that it becomes os Torah? Very important question. Very important question. It seems like. I don't know the answer, right? It seems like whoever said this Mishnah that said Svurim Tovim B'chalushin and said that Yoytze Kriyashma B'chalushin and all of these things assumed either one of the two things, either that there can be an accurate translation or accurate enough for any purpose or that it's not important. As long as you more or less say the point. Right? One of these two things. And probably the second thing, because the first one is just very unrealistic. Or very naive. Right? Or another way of saying this would be that this earlier mission was written by someone who had enough confidence that he understands the Torah. I don't know why I'm saying it earlier. The Chachamim, the Tanakama, they had enough confidence that they understand the Torah. Therefore, if they would write a translation of the Torah, it would be 100% what it means.
Or like Targum Inklis.
Targum Inklis, we know that Sam Chachamim said, or Rav Yassi said about Targum Inklis Benazil, that if not of the Targum, he wouldn't understand the Pusik. Meaning that he couldn't have written the Targum, right? Because he doesn't know what a lot of pesukim mean. But whoever wrote this Mishnah said, I could write a Targum in any language because I understand the Torah. Just explain me the language and I'll explain you how did they say the Torah in that language.
You took the Targum Yonis Ben Azil, right? The correct one.
Beside it.
Right? A historically correct one from Yonis Ben Azil, and you wrote it. Then it would be considered.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But the point is, however you understand it, the point is that according to this Tana, there's nothing special about the language of the Torah. Nothing. All Hilchas Torah would be the exact same in any language. Even if there's a problem of translation, the answer is that he doesn't even think, I'll just be very clear, even if there's an accurate translation, and even if it has the correct meaning, let's say that, like you said, let's say the Tani Yonis Ben Azil Adrich HaKodesh, and so on, and gave us a correct, authorized translation of the text, just be clear, even then it wouldn't be the same exact, right? Everyone knows this, right? Everyone knows that a text, it still changes in translation. It would have the same meaning. It might have the same meaning, but even that is not entirely accurate, right? There would be a lot of connotations and a lot of, let's say, cultural things that would change, right? We call things the names of the Torah because we read the Torah, and therefore, if you're a Ganav, you would call it a Luvan Arami, and if you're a Tzayich, you're an Aisav, and so on. And if they would be called Luvan Arami, it's a name, not really translatable, but if the guy would be called something else, we would call it different something else. There's a lot of things, I'm not going to go at this at length, but it's known to everyone, that there's many things in a language, in the material of the language, in the structure of the language, besides for the meaning, and you do lose them when you translate, even in the theoretical impossible, 100% accurate translation, right? Mm-hmm. So what we learn from this Mishnah is that Harav Tanakama held that that doesn't matter. The Torah is thoughts, not words. The extreme version of this would be what Ibn Ezra said, right? Remember what Ibn Ezra said. Ibn Ezra said, "Aklal ha'ivrim yishmeru ha'inyan v'lei ha'milim." The Hebrews write the ideas and not the words. And this is why he said in the Torah, there's sometimes the same story twice. famously, that's Eretz HaDibris, but he talks about other examples too. And it has different words, and that makes no difference because that means the same thing. Shema V'Zocher, for example. That's one example, but there's other examples.
No, because he's against that it was a little bit that
piece. He's against people that take the language literally. He says that I could show you in the Chumash itself. He has those different examples. Lavan, Eliezer says one thing and when he says the story, and then another thing when he tells the story over, and it means the same thing, just in a different phrase, in a different idiom. Exactly, and so on. And what's going on? One lied, he says, no, this means the same thing, and don't worry about it. We don't care about the words. So in other words, you could translate the Torah into Hebrew too, and it would be the same condition. Because the words are not important. If someone goes and he says, the Torah doesn't work, very complicated language, I'm going to simplify it, like Tanakh La'am, whatever. I'm going to simplify it, I'm going to write instead of... because nobody knows what Mikaitz means anymore. Still has the same Kaddisha, because who cares? The Torah itself did editing like this. Internal, clearly, within the same story. It was Machtavirio, or whatever you're doing. And within the same story, right? So look, that seems to be the shit of the Tanakam. I think it's a pretty defensible opinion. And that's why he didn't even have the problem of accuracy. All these things, the Torah itself doesn't care about that level of material accuracy, because I thought what's holy, what's important.
Does the material affect the ideas that people get from them?
That's the reality is that it does. But these people, they had enough confidence in what they thought the idea really was that it was that they didn't. Okay. That's the fact. It has to be like this. Okay. Anyone, if Inklus made a translation and said everyone's going to read the Torah and hear his translation and not going to know the original text, and everyone was fine with this, right? Right. Everyone was fine with this, right? The Chum didn't say, this is not, either you read Hebrew or you become a goy, because what's this people that not going to ever hear the Torah only through some translation? They said, no, it's good, right? It's fine with us. As long as it's authorized, as long as it's good enough for our purposes, accurate enough for our purposes, right? So this is a very important point, and people are very confused about this. People think, I think this is a Muslim thing. I don't know who made it up. It's not a Christian thing. The Christians hold like this, that the Bible has the same condition in every language. Muslims very famously hold that the Quran is only holy in Arabic and it doesn't even have any meaning in any other language. They don't even call their translations. They call them interpretations. If you buy a Quran, it never says translation of the Quran. If it's a religious one...
If it's like ongoing or whatever?
No, it's connected to Akshama. It's connected to the Shmoyin Noach and Perik Nachalik Aleph Nundalid, where he talks about the God's word, the Logos, whatever.
But that is going against.
It has to do with this. In any case, not getting into this. That's Tam Toyris. The point is, they hold that the text, the words are Heilig, not the meaning of them. And therefore, you have to learn Arabic. If you don't read in Arabic, you don't understand it. You're a pusl. Like I said, if you buy a religious Quran, it's always going to say interpretation of the Quran. And it's always going to tell you should read in Arabic. Even if you don't understand, of course, the Arabic, the kid has to say it. Because the understanding isn't the point. Anyways, by the way, there's nothing to understand there. Don't tell anyone. Anyways, just a long list of you should be good, otherwise you can go to Gehenim. That's what it says, like over throughout 150 chapters, whatever long it is. That's basically what it says. So, in a very simplified version, but more or less that's what it says. So it makes sense that there's only, if you're saying simple stuff and just repeating them, then of course the only value is in the supposed poetry of the Arabic and so on, because it doesn't really say anything. But anyways, maybe that's the conspiracy theory of why they made up this chat. The Khuzri famously says that the Muslims say that the Quran is eloquence is evidence of its godliness, and he says, "Well, sadly, I can't judge that because I don't read, listen to Arabic." I mean, he has the Khuzari king say that because, of course, he did read Arabic, and this is supposed to be an argument against Islam, because if you really have a religion that's supposed to show evidence of its divine origin, it should be accessible to everyone. That's the argument. Very funny argument for the Khuzari to say. But anyways,
just for the special Jews.
This is one of the hidden problems in the Khuzri. Point is, it was not the phone, it was me. Like it. So, Vazas and the done actions. And I can't stop reading the video, it's interesting. Anyways, so the important thing is that there's a shit, and for example, the Muslims have it on their holy book, which is that the text is what's heilig and not the meaning, or at least as heilig as the meaning. And according to that, you have to, of course, have the original text and the original words, not only the original meaning. That is not the shitta of the heilige Tanakhama.
But even if one is okay. Shem Gamaliel,
wait.
One second, I want to ask you a question.
I'm going to talk about Shem Gamaliel in a second.
Translate it in Hebrew? In
wait, Lashon Kodesh, I'm going to show you. According to the Tanakhama, for sure, you could. If you write B'chadosh, you write B'chadosh.
Right, no. Shem Gamaliel that says B'chadosh and what's it called? Maybe also doesn't hold that it's exact words. It's just. For some reason, these languages are
this
like...
is... Wait, we're going to talk about the Shmuel in a second. This is an important theory of the Kedush Satoira, of the Holy Mishnah, and you should remember it. Because this is also behind whoever said that Medrash of Beheret of Veshev Melushim, of course, right? To assume that the Torah should be, and it should be accessible, everyone should be able to understand it, because it's very simple and very good and very clear. And maybe it's true that we'll lose some nuance of cultural references. It doesn't matter, because that's not the point of the Torah. The point is whatever basic message it has, or messages, or thousands of chachmas and so on, and you can have that in every language, and therefore, the Torah is holy in any language, okay? It's a very universalistic or philosophical understanding of it, okay? Unlike many people who seem to think that the whole point of the Torah is that it's in a certain language. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had a different shitta. He said like this: even the Sforim, so Tfilin Mezuzah is Moed, that of course you can't write in Yevunish in different language, but even the Sefer Torah you could only write in Yevunish. Now why? So there's really two theories of this, and I think both theories are in the Gemara, different by different people. Of course, there's this talking about the Torah in Greek is talking about a specific translation, which is probably the one that we have, the Greek translation, although some people have argued that it's not the same one, probably changed somewhat, but there's very probably...
Illusion?
Yeah, there's probably little reason to think that we have a totally different one. Of course, the things that the Gemara quotes from it are not really there, so it's problematic, or not all of them there. Okay, but it's probably it is the same one, or some Gilgal of the same one. Why should you think differently? I don't know. In any case, the important thing is, and the Jews that had the tradition of reading the Torah in Yevunish, they had this one. It's not like... They said the same story or version of the same story. There's two. So he's talking about a certain Torah that's written, right? He said this is the authorized translation and not other ones. So what's the pshat? How do we understand it? So Rabbi Yochanan said drusha yafisa shel yafes yibal Hashem. What the drusha is apparently saying is that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he thought he was a Greek chauvinist. He was a Jewish chauvinist, of course, because he was Jewish, but also was a Greek chauvinist. He said, and we know that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, they studied Greek. Everyone knows. He said, look, I don't think the Torah would be good in any language. It's not true. Most languages are not very good. Latin, he probably knew some Latin. Latin is a language for what does it say in the Rishalmi? Latin is good for something else, remember?
Oh, each one is good for something else. Yeah. Each there's a medrash.
Say Rishalmi.
Rishalmi, I saw the
medrash
once.
Even is Lashi.
Each one, like for poetry, for this, for that.
What plan is it for?
There's some for like love, like I think Latin's for love. One of these things, like yeah, it's a message. I saw this summer. The Medrash.
Okay. Anyway, it says this in Fetish somewhere. I forget where. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said that.
What's Latin for?
I forget. I forget. Can't those try notes to give him? I think Nisht Visa is. What are you looking for? Lachstazai? No, this is dumb. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not finding it in a second. I know where to find it, but it's going to take me too much time. So, no, he's just making stuff up, this guy. The kid said,
Not always.
Things that he doesn't know. It's a big mood. Now listen, Mackenzie, you can do. Let's just treffen the ring. I know you have to look also in whatchamacallit in the book. But it's gonna take me too long to search things now, so I should it's at. Is a shul de tzad. But Rav Shimon Gamliel's shitta was like this, right? It could have two meanings. According to Rav Yochanan's pshat, what it means is that Rav Shimon Gamliel, like I'm saying, Rav Shimon Gamliel held that Greek was the best translation, the best language in general, and therefore the Torah works in Greek. He doesn't think it would work in any other language because other languages are less expressive, and therefore they're gonna have a worse pshat of the Torah. So Greek, the Greek language, is the best language of Yefes. Yovan is, of course, one of the children of Yefes, and therefore, is what? Therefore, the Greek Torah is the best one. Okay? This is very unlike what you'll hear in any Hanukkah tradition, that the Greek is the worst thing. No. Shimon Gamliel said, the Torah can be written only in Greek. He doesn't believe it can be written in other languages, but in Greek it can be written, because Greeks have a good language. You could express the Torah perfectly in Greek. Right? Mm-hmm. Perfect. Stimmt? I didn't make this up. Batki Mat, the Tirshami says like this on this Mishnah and Megillah. Batki Matish Lena Tori Choleli Targim. Here, right? Batki Matish Lena Tori Choleli Targim called Sarka El Yevonis. They checked with the language. They said Yevonis is the language that can be translated Torah. Of course, then the Gemara talks about Aramis, that you could have an Aramish Ari Yevonis. This is where there's different Gristos, that this is where we get Targim Inklis or not, or it's Achilles and so on stories. Point is, that he held that Yevonish is a great language because Greek is very expressive for some reason. But probably there's a little people that do, linguistics could explain to you why he thinks this. I don't think it's entirely made up. It's true that Greek is a pretty expressive language, for at least for the Torah, and it's translatable. Stimmt? Therefore, if you don't understand the word in the Torah, you should look in the Greek because it has Askim v'Rav Shimon Gamliel. And from Shivim Zekayim, whoever they were, but we don't know their names. Shivim Gamliel, we know. He gave us, somebody said this is the best way to translate the Torah. But he's saying something deeper than that, right? He's saying, because again, you remember every language has its conceptual structure and its grammar and everything, and he's saying that Greek is a good fit for the Torah. Right? They bought Gumat, so they checked. They checked that Greek is a good fit for the Torah. It works very well in Greek. Greek with the Greek of Homer, right? The Greek with all the system that the Greeks believe in, which are built into their language. In that language, the Torah works very well.
As in the amount of words?
I don't know if the amount of words.
Meaning for one word, you don't have to use three? Like with, let's say, in English, you would?
No, probably not, because who cares about that?
So then what exactly does it...
By the way, English is also a very expressive language. English is probably the best language.
No, it's very expressive, but maybe it's too expressive.
No, I don't think that would be a problem. They're saying that in some languages...
expressively, we don't have a way to...
Who cares? It's going to be longer. So it's going to be longer. That's not a problem. Who's bothered by this?
English has a lot of words, right? There's a lot of words that... In the title, there's one word. It can mean a lot of different things.
That's because it's so the opposite. So Greek is a better language than Hebrew.
No, but then I don't know. Maybe the title...
You don't know. Again, we already discussed that Rav Shimon Gamliel didn't think he doesn't understand the title. We might think this. Rav Shimon Gamliel thought he knows what the Torah means. He's just looking for a good way to express it, to translate in a different language, right? You have a problem, but you're not going to know the translation. That's your problem.
So
he doesn't know.
Means something inclusive.
No, the Torah doesn't. That's not true. That's not what he thinks. He thinks obviously the Torah means. That's a nice theory of some literary theorist who thinks that the text of the Torah is called Heilig. This is not what Rav Shimon Gamliel is mechilik on Neri Klein.
Why do I have to go?
Listen to
why
me.
Why can't I just talk about the actual?
Because he's not saying this. Because Rav Shimon Gamliel said that the Torah is better, and the Chum Kavachoyim said that the Torah is written in every language. Or the Pshimul said it can be written in Greek because it's the best language. There's no such a thing as two languages who all the words that have the same range of meaning are translatable one for one. That's impossible. And these, I don't think that the Chum even ever had this problem. They thought the opposite. They thought that they knew what the Torah means and therefore they could translate. If the same word means in two different places, two different things, so I'll write a different word in both places and it'll be even clearer than the original Torah. Very good. No problem. You think that sometimes it means both in one place? He obviously didn't think that. He thought that Torah has a meaning, and a definite meaning,
so
and it could be retranslated.
Fine, I agree. I'm fine. I hear. What is Batka meaning? What's the meaning of that?
They checked all the languages. Yeah. They tried. You say the same thing in three languages. They see that it works better in a certain language. What's the big problem?
What does work better?
It carries the meaning better. What else could it mean? It carries the meaning better, not the tricks, not the jokes, the puns. Nobody needs the puns.
No,
if you
puns,
need the puns, then
saying,
no language would work.
No, but I'm saying in every language, if you really understand it, you could use... Okay, so you'll end up using three paragraphs. Who cares?
That's not the problem. It's the problem is the opposite. You don't have words at all, or you don't have the correct formula to express a certain thing. You can't say in Yiddish, you can't. You know that in Yiddish, you can't say most things. Did you ever try to... No, that's a good example. Yeah. Because it's a bad language. It has not enough words. You try to say something, anything complicated in Yiddish, you end up speaking English. That's a true story. Happened to me every week in my sheet. Okay? So, and in English also say a lot of Yiddish words. Okay? Just adds. But you can't. And that's a good example. And by the way, linguistics has a whole debate about this. If you're allowed to say that is better and worse languages. Of course, it's not woke to say. But I read a few... All the Hantic linguists that I read about this, they all say that it's nonsense. Of course, there's languages that are more complex and more expressive, and for certain things, some languages are better for certain areas, and so on. This is a different politic, but the point is that, of course, there's languages that are better for certain things than others, but it's so difficult to understand. Not because of the puns, it's very clear. Not because of the puns. Puns are never translatable. For example, you can see examples of this in the translations. The Targum, I don't know what this Targum HaShevim does, but Targum Inklis, for example, which the Chachamim very much liked, just ignores every wordplay in the Torah. He just does a literal translation of everything, even poetry. He just puts it back into prose. And this is because he obviously didn't think that it's even important to get the beauty of the poetry. That was not important to him. It was more important to him to get the meaning, and that's all. That was the Kaddish Satara to him. And I think that the Greek does something similar. I'm not sure. You have to check how the Greek treats things like this. Good question. I'll find out later. But I know that we should find out later. But the point is that this is definitely how Rav Shmuel thought of it. And he thought that Greek was the best language. And therefore, the Torah is very good, well expressed in Greek. This means that if in a Minna or is in the Torah one thing, and in Greek it's Pistis, then... Pistis is a very good translation for the concept of Emunah. Unlike anyone would say, no, a Goy doesn't have a concept of Emunah. No, he does. Rav Shmuel said every concept in Greek, maybe not in English. English is very good. And so on. No, I just said a random word that the Christians like to talk about very much. But, and so on. Right? Every word is all kinds of words that are hard to translate. He has a translation for all of them. The Greek. In Greek, and this means that us, that we don't understand Hebrew, we could look in the Greek and understand things better. Sometimes. This is what advice from Shmuel to understand the Torah, or to connect, to get the real meaning, the real word that we're looking for, the concept that we're looking for. Words are all concepts, right? There's the shitta of Rav Shmuel Gamliel. There's a different shitta, different shat, and that's if he's a shal yefes. There's a different shitta in Rav Shmuel Gamliel, which is the shitta of... There's a different shitta of Rav Shmuel Gamliel, which is the shitta of... No? A different shat, Rav Yehuda says... that they were not matter only Torah from Shemaster Shehoya. That sounds like a different pshat. He sounds not to say that the Avunis is so great, like the Yerushalmi and Rav Shmuel Gamliel seems to say here, but that it's just that there was a story, like the story that said that Talmi HaMelech forced us to try the Torah in Avunis. So it's like B'dievet, because we had to keep it safe with him. So. We have a Yevunish Torah, and it's like B'deavad, it's Mutter. Okay, we're Matter of B'deavad, but that's all. That's just a hetter for B'deavad for the time that was needed. And maybe it's like grandfathered in. We could use this Torah always, but we can't do any other translations, even of other texts, right? We can't even translate the Tanakh into Greek. It's not going to work because there's not that hetter. That's a different chat, totally different a reading of the story of the Targum HaShivim. Right? Remember? Very good. You probably also know that there's a totally different pshat of this story, right? Which is from the... Who said that pshat? Who said that pshat? You know what I'm talking about, right? Who? No, you don't know. The Megillas Tanis, right? Who said the other pshat?
The word said, translated into Greek.
Yeah. Who said that pshat?
Tanis is one of
these. Very good. That's from Megillas Tanis, right? Is that where it's from?
I think so.
So someone, not the Megillas Tanis, but Masechta Sofrim, it's really Masechta Sofrim.
Yeah.
Which is, these are much later texts, a lot long time after the, where's the source? It's very interesting, you have to see this, okay? In Masechet Safrim Perek Aleph, it says like this, okay? Ma'aseh b'chamisha zekayinim, very different girsa. Masechet Safrim is not a real Masechet, you know, right? It was written in the times of the Goyim, who knows when, very late. It's a lot of bunch of menhogim. Okay, in Masechet Safrim it says, by the way, it says b'fedesh, we don't write the Torah in B'chal Lushan, not the Ksiv Ashiris, right? Keshitas, not Keshitas Tanakama, right? Or Keshitas Ramabdil, Mechilik on the Tanoim, right?
Why? It doesn't say Greek either?
Right. Doesn't write, not Greek. It's not even the right. He's more machmir even than Rosh Hashanah. He says we can't write, he literally says he can't write the Torah in any language. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a story by Zakayinim, that wrote the Torah, L'tanya HaMelech, B'Yavunas. V'hoi ayoyim kusha li'Yisrael kiyem shenaseh ha'egel, sh'lohoi sa'a Torah yecholah li'targim kol tzarka. This is very weird, because this is literally the language from the Rishalim that said that they checked and they found that we could only be mitagim the Torah kol tzarka in Greek, mm-hmm. right? And here it says that it was as bad as Yoyim Shanasa Baya Angle, that's the lesson of the Masechta Sofrim. And why is that? Because it was not, they could not translate it. In other words, this person who wrote Masechet HaSeferim, who was a much later person than the Tanoim, and not that I care about that, but just showing you that there's something different, he held that theoretically maybe it would be nice to translate it, but it's impossible. Impossible. Why is it impossible? Maybe because of all these things that he shows, all the things that he shows about the differences that they have to change, like the which is the Gemara and the Megillah. The Gemara doesn't say the Megillah is about this whole thing. No, it doesn't say anything more. Where does it say? In which Gemara? There's no such Gemara, it's nothing. There is not a Gemara in Masechta Tanis. There's not such a Gemara. The Tanis was made up by someone a long time after the Gemara. Macht nicht so.
Ich
darf nicht sagen, Mutter. Ich darf gedenken. Ich darf gedenken. Okay? There was not a Tanis on that in the Gemara. There was a Tanis on that in some other book. Called what?
Masechta Safrim, that's what you're saying.
Masechta Safrim says that it was very bad because the Masechta Safrim is Mechilek on the Rishalmi. If there's Mechilek Masechta Safrim on the Rishalmi, of course the Rishalmi is right. Das machst du so. Megillah Tanis says that you should fast. Megillah Tanis, it's not really Megillah Tanis, it's much after, it's probably a later part. Even Megillah Tanis has a lot of levels, you have to look in the Mechkur about Megillah Tanis. Megillah Tanis says that you should fast on Ches Tevis, and that the world was dark for 3 days, and therefore people used to fast, it says in Shechan Urech. That's what it says in Megillah Tanis, but not really, this, I don't think this is the real Megillah Tanis, I'm pretty sure that this is some Hesuf to Megillah Tanis, it's a list of Tanaisim. Megillah Tanis is a list of happy days. So it's not the same thing. We could look up and whoever wrote about Megillas Tanis, and you'll see that in Vered Noam's book, you could see what's going on about that. Okay? It's bullshit. In any case, whatever you're saying, that's all. The kids. Now, what am I saying? That's a machloik. This person, whoever wrote the Masechta Safrim, who explains this, he thinks that you can't, either you can't, or he thought, like the other shitta, like the Muslim shitta, that the Torah is holy because of its word. It's by definition impossible to translate kol tzarka. Because you can't translate a language, it's just a language is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense? Doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara that there's a tanis on this side. It was, it says in some later book. There's a lot of things that it says. Machazoi. It says in some sefer. It says in a lot of places, but it doesn't say in the Gemara. There's no.
Okay, just fine.
It was fine.
Aristas also, so it's not a bad thing, right?
Of course not. In any case, even the Masechta Safrim doesn't say that in principle, it doesn't really say that. Maybe this is just an overinterpretation. He just says that it couldn't have been translated, and probably because of all these. Probably he means all these things that the Gemara and Megillah brings, all these brayos that they had to change for basically political reasons, right? For basically psukim that can be misinterpreted and so on. And it's weird because the Gemara, he realized that in the Gemara, even though they made all these changes, there's still less Kedushas HaTorah. because that's what it means, right? When it says Beresh Bura Lehim, there might be a reason why it says Beresh Bura Lehim and not Lehim Bura Beresh, but it means the same thing, right? It just took away one mistake. Even our Neves means Siras Raglaim, it's still the same thing, it's just different words for the same animal. Right? So there's nothing wrong with these mistranslations. It's not really clear what the Masechta Safim
means.
That's
how much the meaning means. You could literally mistranslate.
Obviously.
And it's fine.
The Targum Inglis does this all the time. And this is, again, an example of a translation that we'll be thinking of. Targum Shivim also has certain things that, they're literal. They're as literal as can be, just to be clear. But they're still a translation, and they still do all these kind of things. They still fix a lot of things, and sometimes they say, okay, maybe I had a different case. So what do we learn from all of this? We learn from all of this a very important thing. That in principle, at least, this is the principle that I'm working with, that my last year worked with, and I brought you a Gemara and a Mishnah that says this. In principle, the Torah can be translated, which means that all the counts of the Torah can be said in every language, in principle. It's not true that thoughts belong to a language. Not true. We need to think in a language. Nobody thought without a language, just to be clear.
Which means that there isn't one language that one...
And there also isn't one correct language.
That created the world. That's another way of saying it.
There is one, but it's not a alphabet.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
There is correct, the opposite. There are certain correct concepts and wrong concepts. It's not that you could say whatever you want, or you could say everything however you want.
There's a specific alphabet that created the world.
Alphabet in the sense of the material alphabet, of course. Nobody really thinks that. Everyone thinks that is just confused. I told you, the Heilige... The Rebbe Rabbinim said... that he found a Mekibel, and Mekibel told him that there's a lot of secrets in the Groisa Dalet van Eichad and the Groisa Ayin van Shema. There's a big story, there's a Torah, right? So Rabbinim told him, that's very cute, but I have a question for you, that the Melucha is Grishma B'chalushin. So could you explain to me in Polish this so that you just told me? And if not, obviously he didn't understand what you're talking about, because it doesn't stem with the Halach. Now, of course, it's not necessarily true that that person had to be able to explain in Polish, because you have to know Polish very well, and the Polish philosophical concepts, and the way in which to translate. It's very hard to translate accurately from one language to another. It's not a simple thing to do, right?
I think it's one of the reasons why we're able to have different accents, right? Maybe it's Chalosh.
That's not real. I know people say that. Much of Einstein, other people say that. That's this. We don't need that. It's nonsense. That's just over. That's way over. OCD. Sorry. It's not.
It doesn't end up there.
Yeah, but the kasha doesn't begin. It's not real. Kasha doesn't begin.
You're saying just accents and language is not real.
Yeah, there were people in the Shevet Ephraim that didn't know how to say this, and well, therefore what? Doesn't mean that they were not. I mean, the Mishnah says that there's a problem, whatever, because they want to say it correctly, but you're Yotze if you don't say it correctly. It's a Ferish Halacha, I don't get the whole problem. Could have Ledictik Bezisei Yotzalishtat in the Mishnah. Ledictik Bezisei literally means this. So, this is very important. That you could, in principle, say everything in every language. And there's the problems with some languages and with some people. Some languages are just not very good. Of course, it's possible that Hebrew is not a very good language. I want to say this, because it has to be a possibility. It's possible. We know that we would have a very hard time expressing ourselves in Biblical Hebrew, or probably would be impossible. You know how we know this? No book since the Bible was written in Biblical Hebrew. It's not because nobody knew it. They read the Torah every week. That's because you can't really say what you want to say in it. Right? Even the Mishnah wasn't written in Biblical Hebrew. Right? It was written in Mishnah Hebrew, which is maybe a version of Biblical Hebrew, or maybe a later stage of it, or whatever you want to say. But it was able to express itself only in that, and it has a bunch of Greek loan words and so on. Right? Of course, the Bible also has loan words from other languages, not a problem. And later, people can't even write... I actually do think, it's very interesting, I actually think, for example, that you could express most things in Mishnah Hebrew still to this day. Most people don't actually write in the language of the Mishnah, but it's not very hard to express yourself in that language if you know how it works. People have done that, right? Shai Gnon does that, more or less. And he's pretty good at getting across whatever he's trying to get across. So it is possible. It's also possible to do it in later versions of Hebrew, but it's not, those are just stylistic things. But nobody can do it in the biblical language. Or at least you could do it, but nobody would understand what you're saying. You would not be very successful at expressing yourself. Mm-hmm. You could probably do it in the way that the Torah is translated into English or into Greek or into any other language you know. English is a very good language because it has a lot of words. But you can't do it in Hebrew, in the language of the Lishna Kodesh, and the Lishna Kodesh of the Chumash. And therefore, we have to translate the Torah into a different language in order to understand it. Because like we said, there's the problem with the original language also. You could say Yotze even, but we're not trying to just be out, we're trying to understand it. Right? So, therefore, this is a counter Chanukah Drusha, counter anti-Yevunish Drusha. This is a pro-Yevunish Drusha. This is saying that if we could translate Torah into Yevunish, of course, ancient Greek is not very accessible to us either. It's a little bit more accessible to us than ancient Hebrew. You know why, right? You don't know why? Because we speak a language that's somewhat descended from it. Not entirely, but somewhat. Or at least has a lot of...
We stopped talking.
A lot of... What?
So we stopped talking, saying the language.
We stopped?
Using the language.
Which language?
Hebrew.
Well, we know Hebrew. We know a lot about Hebrew. But English is not has very little to do with Hebrew. Mm-hmm. Has more to do with Greek. Not a lot to do with Greek either. But a little to do with Greek. Mm-hmm. Belongs to the same family in very wide senses and so on. So it's better. And we also have a translation, an authorized translation by the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel out of all the 70 sages of the Torah into Greek. Which means that also we could use every concept that they translate into Greek to identify the Greek concepts. And the Greeks were much better at explaining their concepts to us than the Torah was, that's for sure. Right? And of course, people have this funny idea that the Greek just philosophers just make up concepts, but they don't. They're just explaining concepts that exist in their language and making it better and clearer. But the people that we have that are doing the Torah are pretty bad at explaining the basic concepts of the Torah. And the Greeks are doing a much better job at explaining their concepts. And since Rav Shimon Gamliel said that this is the best language, and it's the best language to express the Torah in, so the best way to understand the Torah is to do what the Holy Rambam did and read the Greek text, of course, translate it into Arabic, complicated, and read the Torah through their eyes. Because the Shimon Gamliel said that they should do this. Not the Rambam. And I'm pretty sure...
Just don't do the Syrian Greeks.
I'm pretty sure... What?
It's not the Syrian Greeks.
Why? No, those are just random. No shaykhs. Therefore, the Egyptian Greeks, the Talmuds, they were
much not,
yeah. And therefore... Therefore... And not only that, I also think another thing. Since the Chachamim thought this, or at least some of them thought this, it's probable that a lot of what they're doing is translating the Torah into Greek. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice that the people that we call Chachamim Zecharim Levracha, which are really only one part of our Chachamim Zecharim Levracha, the ones that lived in Hellenic period, and later in Sasanian, other periods, but there were the Tanoim and so on, people living in Rome and Hellenic Palestine. And these people are thinking in Greek, many of them, or at least the ones of them that are sophisticated. That doesn't mean that they read Greek philosophy, it doesn't make a difference. Like, there's this whole argument about that. But it does mean that they're thinking Greek often. And you know how I know that, right? Because whenever they want to express themselves something that's complicated, they just say it in Greek. Very often. Right? Even when they count in Greek. They just say Alpha, Beta, Gamma, and they don't say Alpha, Beta, Gamma. Even the Beis HaMikdash, in the Holy Beis HaMikdash, it says Masechta Shkolim. There were three kronos of Tremes HaShkolim, and there was Kusval and Alpha, Beta, Gamma. And there's like Shaila, the Rebbeinu Menoach, says, why did they write Aleph, Beta, Gamma? Alpha, Beta, Gamma is just Aleph, Beis, Gamma. Like, seriously, it's literally the same letters. Or descended from the same letters. Why can't they write Aleph Bez? Oh, because Aleph Bez is so holy, they didn't want to use it just for counting. But this stamps this, and it's nice speed to it. The truth is that they just count it in Greek. Just like we count in English. None of you, one of the signs of what your native language you think in is how you count in, right? Because counting is like something we do very automatically. It's very... So, the Chachomim, the people in the Bez Midrash counted in Greek. And many other things that they explained in Greek. And even when they explained things in Hebrew, they conjugated biblical terms into new kinds of words and concepts. They're probably thinking in Greek ways. Greek ways does not mean Greek ways, just to be very clear. We just said Greek ways doesn't mean Greek ways. There's no such thing as Greek ways. It just means that this language is very expressive, and the kind of words that it gives you is expressive, and it allows you to explain the Torah better. Doesn't mean that it's Greek. It's not Chas V'Shalom that they're taking Greek concepts. Right? Because the concepts that we said, the Torah B'Cholosh, the Torah, the concepts are beyond language. You can't think them without any language, because we're humans, we're not angels or whatever. And abstract intellect, I think, without language. But what we're thinking is not the language, what we're thinking is the thoughts. But we do need good tools to do that, for which languages are good, and for which the Greek language is one of the best. And therefore, it seems to me that reading Greek language, and specifically the language, and comparing it to how the Chumim thought, to how the Chumim of all generations, and how the Torah itself, but the Torah itself was not in that context, so it's not going to help us much, is extremely helpful to understand both sides of the story, which are really the same. They're just trying to explain the same things. And like I said, the Greek sages were just very much better at explaining themselves. They're not infinitely better, just to be clear. There's some things in which they're worse, probably. But for us, since mainly because we have the tradition, we don't really have a Jewish tradition, or we don't have it as clearly written down or transmitted as we have the Greek wisdom tradition, which is, of course, not so different from the parts of it are just the same. I don't think the first Greeks, there's some myths, of course, how they literally studied from the Eastern sages, which basically means the same people that we studied with or from or are. It's not, of course, there's big expanded versions of this myth, but it's not crazy, and it's not wrong in the most Protestants, where there's like one, it's part of the same tradition. They think, if you start reading it, you see that they think in the same way. Of course, people in China and all over think in similar ways, just because human beings think in certain ways. Maybe there's still kind of subtle differences. But these are the ones that are closer to us, probably. And therefore, it's very important, and you'll read, and I have a whole sheet to talk about this. The people that, now we have a tradition of translators, like the Tilons were the greatest translators were the most famous, at least, translators of Arabic into Hebrew. And a lot of what they're doing when they're good, and I have to show you in the fourth chapter of Shmuel HaPerukim that we're studying now, Harav Shmuel HaPerukim explicitly writes this. I read a little later, further today, and see he explicitly says this. It's not, I mean, explicit also more or less explicitly in other places. But he explicitly has as this project to not only to give you that, like the correct word, like to show you should understand what the Rambam is meaning when he's translating from Arabic, which is translated from Greek, which is so on. But he also tries to give you, put it back into the context of the language of the Mishnah, of the Chachamim who lived in Hellenic Israel. And he does sometimes he's probably successful at it, sometimes he might have guessed wrong, because we don't have a very good understanding of how their words worked. But I think he sometimes does guess correctly. And like we talked about Zahiras and so on, they sometimes do seem to say things that are correct. And they're sometimes even literally the same aphorisms from Greek sages and from Jewish sages. And there's no reason to think that these are not literally the same thing. Whether they said it because they stole from one another or they said it because they thought the same thing doesn't make a big difference. Right? Remember it says in the Mishnah, Yom Kotzer Amlecha Mereba? You know who said that? Hippocrates. Very famous statement. Literally word for word. Life is long and art is short. Or something like that. Life is short and art is long. Melucha, art. There's like can't be more word for word than that. And things like that. So
what's the Greek word for art?
I forgot. It's the same
word. No, meaning
it's not melucha. Melucha isn't Hebrew.
What does it like tell us?
He's talking about art in the sense of techne. By the way, techne is the word, and he's thinking of the like medical art because he was a doctor. He's talking about knowing how to be a doctor. That's what he's thinking of.
But you see what just happened? Like it became much narrower than melucha.
No. Melucha. The translation of the word melucha is techne. Is art. That's what melucha means. What your art is, whatever. That depends on what your job is or what you think your
art as in fach or art as in
yes. Melucha is tach fach.
Oh, fach, right, but art doesn't...
No, I'm not art in English. When I say art, I mean it the way the Greeks mean it, not the way the English people mean it.
Yeah.
Art not as in fine arts, art as
that's
in...
That's what I meant to say, what do the Greeks call it?
Yes, that's what I meant. That's an example. There's thousands of such examples. The Rambam himself noted some examples of this, where the Chazal seem to be just translated, translating Plato.
What does stealing mean? How do you steal it?
Steal what? No, it's not stealing. You can't steal it. Yeah, it's nothing. I'm just saying. There's no reason to think otherwise. And Shoyin, that's, I mean, we could see details of this in a different sheet. Shoyin.